Brother Bennett, on Monday night you come and get one lot right under our board.
Sunday night.
Well, I don't know. I was going to say, if this is Monday, something happened to Sunday. I don't know what happened. But
that was a long nap, I
think. I guess so. He said he was in another world or something when he came in. I think he's still there. All right. Praise the Lord. I don't have anything to preach tonight. That's a lie of the devil, you know that. I don't think I've ever got behind this pulpit and said I never had anything to preach, so I had to say it. So I'd have it, you know, said it once at least. Psalm 18, if you will. We'll get into the Word of God, since you're not going to laugh. And find out what the Lord has for us out of His book tonight.
Just for you, son.
Thank you. I prefer lemonade. Or Dr. Pepper, one or the other.
I know what you prefer.
All right, well. Psalm 18. Now I used to make everybody stand up. I don't do that anymore. I guess I'm just too laid back. I just, what's going wrong? It's hot, right? So the preacher don't make me stand up. We've been standing. You know, he's really not very thoughtful. I have to get up here and stand behind this pulpit. He has us standing the whole time while we're singing. So I'm standing the whole time, the whole service. That's just cruelty. That's just evangelist abuse. Look, that's a hate crime, I think. Never mind. All right, what am I doing? Oh, Psalm 18. Look down here. We'll start reading verse 1. It says, I will love thee, O Lord, with my strength. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord. Isn't that a song? I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We do thank you, Lord, for those that have come out tonight. And I just ask, dear God, that you use this old preacher. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would work through me tonight. And I pray that you'd give us exactly what we need. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question. I got some songs here in the hymn book. I'm glad that your hymn book had them in here. But can you sing songs like this? Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. 378. You can sing the second verse with me. You did on the first anyhow because you already knew it. But can you sing it honestly? Think about this song while we're singing it. On that second verse, 378. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Here in Psalm 18 it says, my strength, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. You know, the word my means belonging to me. It's a possessive. And if you look at this, you think, well, of course, this is David writing, and David can honestly say things, something like that. But can we? Is God your God? Does Jesus belong to you? Do you have the kind of relationship with him that you can say he's my God? I mean, do you have that relationship we talked about this morning? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him, it's not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. I'm not in darkness anymore. I'm in the light. Praise the Lord. I've got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But by the way, I can knock on his door any time of day or night. And I can talk to him whenever I need to talk to him. Many times I don't have to talk to him, but I do. Because he's there. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I praise the Lord. Can you really say this is my Jesus? There's another song. My Jesus, I love thee. 666. Ooh, that's a terrible number. But 666. My Jesus, I love thee. I'm not sure I can start it, but I know the song that once we get it started. You know what? Go ahead and start it then. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis Didn't know you were going to preach the message, did you? Let me ask you, do you have a relationship like that? You say, he's mine. I'm his and he's mine. Can we say, Jesus is my salvation? You know, I remember I was sitting in an airport getting ready to fly to Germany. And some fellow walked up to me. He said, are you saved? And I says, well, it depends on what you mean, saved. He says, well, do you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? I says, yes, I am. And I'm glad to tell you that I know Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And he said, great. I haven't got time for you. Get this fly out of here. I haven't got time for you. I've got to talk to some other people. So he was talking to everybody that he could come in contact with there in the airport. But, you know, that hasn't happened too many times in my life. And I remember years past that we'd go up to Geneva on the streets and hand out gospel tracts. And I remember those days and talk to people about the Lord. I don't remember meeting too many people say, yeah, I'm saved. Jesus is my salvation. But you know what? It's a great testimony if you can knock on a door and somebody answers the door. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Yeah, Jesus is my salvation. Wouldn't it be good? But you know, the sad thing is not too many people can honestly say that. But I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And I want you to notice here, it says here, in someplace it says here, down here in verse 2, it says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation. That word horn means strong salvation. It's a salvation that's not going to be broken. It's a salvation that's eternal. It's a salvation that can't be taken away from us. It's a pure salvation. It's a good salvation. It's a strong salvation. When Jesus saved me, he says, I'm not going to give up on you. You might give up on me, but I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will walk with you. Even if you don't walk with me, you can't get rid of me. I remember hearing on the radio one time, one of these preachers, he was preaching a message, and I thought it was a pretty good message. He says, we're in the hand of Jesus, and praise the Lord for that. But sadly, there are too many people that are trying to jump out, and do jump out. And you get away from that hand, you're lost. And on your way to hell, I want to tell you something, you can't jump out of the hand of Jesus. You're secure in the hand of Jesus. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad he's my salvation. My Jesus, I love you. And then it says, my strength. Here in verses 1 and 2, it says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. I can do all things according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the strength. You know, it's sad too many people go around that claim to be saved and say, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't. Don't ask me to do it because I can. Yeah, you can. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I remember years ago I pastored someplace up north here. And I remember going out on visitation on Thursday nights. And I had somebody in the church tell me one time, well, I can't go out on visitation. I wouldn't know what to say. Well, the Lord will give you the words to say. He'll give you the strength to go out there and do the job. He'll give you the boldness to speak up when you need to speak. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been out on visitation somebody would say something to me, and I didn't know what kind of response to say. But all of a sudden, the words come blurting out of my mouth, and I've said something. I'm going, whoa, where did that come from? It was the Lord speaking through me. I can do all things through the strength that I get through Jesus Christ. He's my strength. And then it says here, my rock. It says in verse 2, the Lord is my rock. That's our foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ. There's no other foundation. Build upon the foundation that's solid. Build upon the foundation that's the rock. build upon that foundation, you're going to have a Christian life that will last, and a Christian life that won't be torn up by the storms of life. Look over here in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, down here in verses 24 to 28. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Well, I know a lot of people in this world that are building their house on the philosophies of this world. I mean, they believe every lie that the politicians will tell them. They believe every lie that educators will educate them, try to tell them lies. You go, listen, one of the things that college professors love to do is destroy a Christian's faith. They love to destroy a Christian's faith. Folks, I want to tell you something. The devil loves public education. And he loves seeing people's faith destroyed. And, you know, I remember one time when I was a kid, I was in high school, and I was taking psychology, and I had a psychology teacher that mocked me because I was a Christian and made fun of me because I was a Christian. And I told him, well, that my mom and dad raised me that way. I mean, they were firm on getting me to church. They didn't send me to church. They took me to church. Mom and Dad made me sit beside them while I was at church. Mom and Dad made me shut up and listen while the preacher was preaching. Mom and Dad weren't with me in Sunday school, but they many times wished they had been. And the fact of the matter is, they didn't say they want, you know, I don't want to burn my kid out on religion or anything like that. They say, well, you know, you can stay home if you want. No. Listen, we knew exactly what we were going to do. We went to church. And I got a good foundation at church at the age of 8. I remember trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. That preacher had the audacity to preach on hell. I mean, it was hotter than it is today. And we didn't have air conditioning in that church. And you know what? I was sweating bullets. And he had the audacity to get up there and preach on hell. And I thought I was going to go to hell that day. And I walked down that aisle. I don't remember how I got to the front, but I somehow got from the back row up to the altar. And he put his arm around me and says, what do you need, son? I said, I don't want to go to hell. And he says, you need Jesus. Harold Day was the pastor's name. And he led me to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. I called out to the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved, gloriously saved. And I want to tell you something. I started building my house upon the rock. That psychology teacher couldn't take it away from me. He tried to destroy the rock, but it didn't happen. There was another girl. There was a girl in that class named Terry Walton, and I'll never forget Terry Walton as long as I live. She said, why don't you quit picking on him? Just because he's a Christian. She stood up for me that day. And I want to tell you something. It's kind of a scary thing when you're the only one the teacher's picking on. But what's Satan wanting to do? He wants him to destroy that faith that we have. Build your house upon the rock, not the shifting sand of this world. Notice what it says here in the rain, in verse 27, the rain descended and the floods came and winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. You build your house upon that shifting sand out there, and the house will collapse. And by the way, there's storms right around the corner. There's always a storm. But God has given us the strength. If you're building up on the rock, God's given you the strength to weather the storm and to keep on going. I'll tell you what, He's my rock. How about you? And then verse 2, it says here, I got to go back to Psalm 18. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. Well, He's my fortress. That's the castle, a safe and secure place. Where's the fortress? That's the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. I want to tell you something. Run to the cross. Run to the cross. You know why there's safety at the cross? Because that's where the judgment fell. Jesus bore all the judgment. If you run to the cross, the judgment's already fallen there. You will not be judged. Stay at the cross. That's our fortress. That's where we're secure. Don't run from the cross. Stay there. And then, notice it says here in verse 2, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. Now, that means that's the one who rescues us and keeps us. Hey, folks, this is important stuff. You know what? This is something for you to study when you get home. Think about this. He's our deliverer. Now, every time I think of the word deliverer, I go back there and see what God did for the Jews, the Israelites, there in Egypt. They were in bondage. They were in bondage. And then all of a sudden, God delivers them. He's the one who delivered them. Moses really didn't do it. He was the leader, but the fact of the matter is, God delivered them. Now, here's what happened. They walked out of there, and Pharaoh decides, I'm going to go get them. Well, you know what? God let them go across the Red Sea, not the Reed Sea, the Red Sea, and the water dried up, and they were able to walk across that Red Sea. And then Pharaoh and his army came down there, and God says, well, you're not going to get my people. And they all drowned in the Red Sea, not the Reed Sea, the Red Sea. Now, when they got to the other side of the Red Sea, not the Reed Sea, the Red Sea, when they got to the other side, you know what they could say? They said, whoa, wait a minute. We were in bondage on that side, but I'm free now. And the Lord set them free. He's our deliverer. Do you realize that you were in bondage before you placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? You were in bondage to the old devil. The devil had control of you. The devil, he could do with you whatever he wanted to do. And by the way, you ever wondered why you did some of the things you did? Yeah, because the devil's pushing you along. Now, I understand we can make our own decisions. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to go out there and do my own thing. Well, you know what? You're being driven by a godless world. You're out there in darkness. You don't even know you're beating your head against the wall. You don't even understand what day it is. But the fact of the matter is, when you saw the light and you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, things changed. You're no longer in bondage to the world. You're no longer in bondage to Satan. You're a free person with Jesus Christ. He's my deliverer. Not only did he deliver me, but he keeps me. I want to show you something over here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this. Down here in verse 3 it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That begotten again is being born again, just like it says over in John chapter 3. Notice in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who? That's those that are truly born into the family of God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who? Those that have placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that have been born into the family of God. Those that have been born again, begotten again. There's an inheritance in heaven for us, and we're kept by the power of God. Now, it's not me keeping myself. It's Him keeping me. He's my deliverer. Not only did He deliver me, but He's keeping me. I don't know about you, but I get excited about those things. And then notice what else here, back here in Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God. The Lord's my God. I have no other God. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way. I'm the only way. There's just one way. There's not many ways. I'm the truth. And by the way, the Bible says, the truth will set you free. And that's what the truth did for me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not only physical life, but spiritual life. And those that haven't trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior are still spiritually dead. But He's my God. He's the one that I worship. There was a man in John chapter 9 that had a physical problem. The Lord comes along and heals him. He takes up his bed and starts to walk. And the Pharisees come along and say, hey, it's the Sabbath day. What are you doing carrying your bed? And he says, well, the person that healed me told me to pick up my bed and walk. And they said, oh, it's the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to do that. That guy must be a lunatic or something. And he says, no. Nobody has done that with somebody that's been blind since birth. I mean, here I am walking along. And so they gave him a hard time. They were going to kick him out of the temple and synagogue and so on and so forth. And come to find out, they actually did, eventually. He says, I don't know if this guy is what you say he is. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Well, anyhow, after he left, he got kicked out of the synagogue. He's walking along and Jesus stops him. And Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of God? He says, well, who is the Son of God? And the one that's talking to you is He. And you know what he did then? He fell on his knees and worshiped Jesus. He's my God. He's my God. He's the one I worship. There's no other God. You can't make me think that the gods that the Greeks made up are gods. You can't make me think that the crazy things they did, anybody would want to worship them. Why would you go to Athens and see all these little statues all over the place, and then there's one that's set up to the unknown God? And Paul comes along and says, let me introduce you to the unknown God. And he introduced him to Jesus. He's my God. And it's Jesus, the one that I worship. How about you? And then notice what else in verse 2 it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. Now, a buckler is a shield for defense. And so, he's my defense. And that, look back here in Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. Find a fellow by the name of Abraham. Actually, his name hadn't been changed yet. It's Abram here. But notice what it says here in chapter 15 of Genesis in verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know what a shield? A shield goes before you and protects you. A shield is there in the battle. And Abraham was going to face some battles along the way. As a matter of fact, in chapter 19, he does face a battle. But the fact of the matter is, he's going to face some battles along the way. And we are too. Are you prepared for the battle? Well, the Lord, the one that's my God, He's my shield. He's the one that's going to protect me. He's the one that's going to keep the fire darts of the wicked away from me. He's the one that is going to keep me. You know, the promises of God. My God's not a liar. My God can't lie. And He's going to take care of me. Now here also, notice what it says down here in verse 2 of Psalm 18, it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." My high tower. Think about this. That's a watchtower, that high tower. And God's there at the top, keeping an eye out. Over here in Psalm 34, look in Psalm 34. Notice this. This is good stuff. And it says this down here in Psalm 34, verse 15. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." God is watching over us from the high tower. There's nobody going to take advantage of us. Why? Because God's there. He's watching us. And by the way, He has His eyes on us all the time. I mean, we can't hide from the Lord. And why would we want to? You see? Unless you're doing something you shouldn't do. But the fact of the matter is, God sees it anyhow. And He's our high tower. He's taking care of us. Now, I want you to look back here in Psalm 18. And notice what it says. Now, I pray that each and every one of you can honestly say, "He's your God." You can say, "This, He belongs to me." I pray that. You know, the problem is there's too many people that claim to be Christian that don't even know the Lord. Remember, we mentioned this morning. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, "That I may know Him." And he said that 2 years before he died, "that I may know Him." But the fact of the matter is this. Think about this with me. Here's Paul. He had walked with the Lord. He'd suffered for Him. He'd given Him everything. But his one desire is to have that relationship with Him. I wonder how many of us give up everything we've got just to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, "that I may know Him." That I can be drawn closer to Him. That I can walk with Him. That I can talk with Him. That He can be my God and I can say He's my God. And I can be His. Look down here in verse 3 of Psalm 18. It says, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." Folks, my Jesus is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be called upon. "I will call upon the Lord." Well, I tell you what. We go around and you look at Christians in this day and age, and we're all going around and we're chewing our fingernails and are twiddling our thumbs, and we're all hunched over feeling sorry for ourselves, thinking we've got, you know, nothing to look forward to. Every day is just a horrible day. All these, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." You know something? I look around this world today and I look at the Christians in Nigeria. They're going through persecution. I hear about almost daily of Christians' churches that are being burned and Christians being murdered because of their faith in Christ. I look at the Middle East and the conditions in the Middle East, and I see these terrorists that not only hate the Jews, but they hate the Christians. And they would kill as many Christians as they possibly could. They hate America because they think that's where America is the ones that spread this awful thing called Christianity. Listen, I want you to think about this for just a minute. What if they come busting that door down and they say, just like they did to that little girl that was at school, "Do you believe? Do you believe in God?" All she did was say yes, and they shot her. What would you say? "Yeah, He's my Jesus. I believe." You know, I don't look for persecution. I don't look for pain. But I'll tell you what, I think it's coming. If you're going to be the kind of Christian that's going to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ, then you better be willing to say, yes, he's mine. He's my God. That's my Jesus. And I love him. You know, this life really doesn't matter a whole lot when it comes down to it. If you think about whether I'm going to choose Jesus or choose this world. And if I choose the world, oh, I can live for a little while. But if I choose Jesus, they'll persecute me and kill me. I have to choose Jesus. He's mine. He's my, he belongs to me, and I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Let's stand very quietly. Every head's out, every eye closed. No one looking around. Preacher, I needed that. I needed that. I mean, you'd say, preacher, I know without a shadow of doubt that he's mine. My God. Okay. Raise your hand high. I know he's my God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Lord, we do love you. I thank you. Thank you for the testimonies that were given tonight. Thank you for the hands that were raised. I pray, dear God, that you'll do a mighty work right now in hearts. Lord, what would we say if we're put in the position where we, if we say the right thing, we can live, but if we say we love Jesus, we'll die. What would we say? Lord, we don't know until we've gotten to that position, I guess. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stay. Yes, he's mine. Work now in each heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation. Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Father, praise you. Thank you for what we've seen and heard here tonight from your word. Thank you again that you again are our strength, our shield, our high tower. Father, thank you again for each of these illustrations. And Father, we live in a year right now where we don't know how this thing's going to unfold. You know, again, as we look at polls, as we look at directions of our nation, Father, as we look at Marxist overthrows and their plans and their plots, as we consider, again, the plight that America is in, that it has not glorified Thee nor magnified Thy name, but instead has shamed. Father, I pray again that You'd be with us as we walk in this uncertain world, Father, that we could again, even as the song says, joy flooding our soul, knowing again where we stand and on whom we stand and who is our rock. Father, thank You for the message. Thank You again for strength and encouragement in the day that we live in. And pray now again that You touch and bless. Bring us back at the appointed time tomorrow night. Cause that Your name could be exalted, Father. Pray that You touch our lives. Pray that You touch this little church and stand its love for You. Pray again that You touch its outreach here in the Yates County in upstate New York. And Father, cause again that we could see lives changed even this week, because of the joy in our life, because of the salvation, because of the name of Your Son on our lips as we step into a new week, a new day. I pray that You'd go with us, encourage and strengthen. Father, wilt Thou not revive us again? We'll give You all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Lord bless you for being here tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.